Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers, named Jairus, came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed all around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was free from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see all the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you ask who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be free from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion, with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother, and the disciples who were with him, and went to where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. About 5 years ago, I made a purchase, and looking back at it, it's probably one of the best things I have bought in the last 20 years. What is it you're probably asking? I made the decision to pay for a Sirius XM satellite radio subscription. I know that doesn't really sound like very much at all, does it? But hear me out. For just a few dollars a month, I can listen to the kind of music that I want to hear with no commercials. See, I have the app subscription. It's on my phone. It plays through the Bluetooth in my car using a cell phone signal. I can drive from here to Fargo, North Dakota, and listen to whatever I want to without interruption. Well, actually, there's only two exceptions to that. One is a small place just outside of Weibo, Montana, that doesn't have much cell signal. It's right on this side of the North Dakota border. And the second is a small stretch called West Beach Road on Whidbey Island. But I'm kind of getting away from my point here. I love my Sirius XM account, because the music is always new on the station that I listen to. There's hundreds of stations, there's oldies, rocks, all of that. But for me, it has to be new, every day, all the time. And then the other day, when I was online, I heard a song come on that I hadn't heard in 30-some years, and instantly I was transported back to my junior year of high school. Hearing that song, I could see my friends. I could see the sights and sounds of the hallway where all of our lockers were there at Lutheran High School. See, music and songs really do have a very powerful effect on us.
They can play with your emotions. They make us act differently than perhaps we normally would. Maybe that's because music and song and singing seem to reach people on a much deeper level than just talking to them. Considering all of this, it's clear that God has given us the gift of music and singing as a way of enriching our lives and expressing thoughts to others that we might not otherwise do. Sing to the Lord a new song, the psalmist declares. Saint Augustine even said one time, "He who sings prays twice." Perhaps that's why King David became one of the most prolific writers of all the psalmists. And he's adamant that those who have experienced God's goodness should respond to him in song. And in today's psalm, Psalm 30, King David writes about three reasons why God gives to us that we should sing about. The first is that God corrects us in order to bring us back to him. See, when life is going very good for us, it's easy to forget that it is God who is the one who is caring for us and providing for all of our needs. It's a rather typical human reaction. Our sinful nature always wants to take credit for the things that our Lord does. Even David began to see his successful reign as king coming from his own intellect and his own power and not from the Lord. Ever notice, though, how we never seem to take credit when our life takes a turn for the worse? What we usually do is ask God where he was during those times. David sort of asks that same question in the psalm as he says, "The Lord hides his face." The Lord hiding his face is a way of saying, well, if you think you can do it on your own, go ahead and try. Suddenly, David's near perfect life is falling apart. Feelings of dismay, of being lost, of being alone takes over a person when the Lord does hide his face, just as it did for David. But the purpose of this is to bring us back to him. Our Lord uses this to correct us, to get us back onto the right track, never to punish. Though facing these challenges like David did, our Lord helps us to see that our only solution is to trust in his grace and his mercy. David wrote, "God's anger is but a moment, but his favor is for a lifetime." Realizing this, we can see his goodness, even in correcting us, is a reason to sing to the Lord. Another reason to sing to the Lord is because he heals us. Our Lord is the great physician of both body and soul. And in the psalm, we read that the Lord did heal David of something. "I called to you for help and you healed me." He doesn't tell us what it is. Suffering in this way is something that most of us understand. We have experienced it firsthand in our own lives, some much more than others. And we are thankful when a clean bill of health is given. But God's healing is more than just physical. Our spirit can be deeply injured when we pray for healing and it does not seem to come. We cry out to the Lord, "I'm suffering here." And his answer seems only to be, "I know. Now continue to suffer." So with the psalmist, we feel as if we are going down to the pit. But in God's mercy, his healing extends to our very soul. We know that God has given his son for us, for our salvation, and that in him he gives us all things. At times, that includes physical healing. And other times, that's patience to endure what our Lord has in store for us. However, it always includes eternity with him. And that is clearly something to sing about. Our Lord saves us from despair and guilt of our sins. This is the third reason that the psalmist gives to sing to the Lord. You see, when we take a long, honest look at ourselves, we can easily recognize our sinfulness in light of God's perfection. how easy it is for us to think that we can play games with God and actually fool him as easily as we fool our friends and family. There are times when we actually think we can make deals with God. You know what I mean? Try to get him to act in a particular way. You know, God, if you just do this for me, then I will do. This mindset is one of trying to make God fit into who we think he should be, rather than conforming our lives to his will. That's a difficult task, because the sinful nature demands to be the center of our lives. Something David knew all too well. He did what he wanted, which included murder and adultery, and he was convinced that he was doing right. It was only after being confronted by God's judgment that he was able to see and confess his sin. We need not have a prophet come and confront us when we sin. No, we have David, who wrote, "I was sinful from the moment my mother conceived me." We have St. Paul, who wrote, "The good I want to do, I do not do. What I don't want to do, that's what I do." But mostly we have Jesus, sent by the Father to deal with our sin. That's why our Heavenly Father does not punish us for our individual sins. He sent Jesus for that. He poured out his wrath on Jesus, and he carried our sins to the cross so that our Heavenly Father pours his mercy upon us. And it's not that the Lord can be merciful. Lots of false religions make that claim. The fact is, God is merciful. It's who he is. It's his very nature. Therefore, he forgives the sins of all those who believe in Jesus' work on our behalf. God has bound himself to that mercy by giving his Son as a payment for sin, and we are forgiven, and salvation is ours. Our psalm this morning has a very particular title to it. It reads, a song for dedication of the temple of David. The psalm was written to be sung at the dedication of the temple that his son Solomon would one day build. David wanted to do it, but God said no. But even so, David was so excited to know that one day a temple would be built, he could not help but sing praises to God. How could life be any better for David? Especially considering that all that the Lord has done for us, correcting love that draws us back to him when we have gone astray, his healing power of both body and spirit, and the sending of his son to not only provide us forgiveness and a forgiveness of our sins and salvation, but in doing so, shows us the depths of his love for each and every one of us. So we say with David, how could life be any better for us? How can we do anything but sing praises to the Lord? So with David, we close with the final verse of our psalm, "That my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever."